Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. And sitting across from me, as ever, is...
Yeah, stretching. It's a Monday morning. It's been a good weekend. Mike Cosentino is here to a shout-out to Cactus Kate, one of our biggest fans here. And we have Gary, Silent Gary, over here.
Gary is going to talk on this show.
I'm going to be silent.
And we got this truly silent. Great guest. We got the
Gary rounded up from the nether sphere, something. Yeah.
This is one of those smoky room insiders. Uh-huh. If there was smoky rooms on board, I don't think anybody smokes anymore.
No cigars and brandy anymore.
No. I kind of miss them, actually. But we got Matt Capaldi of Flagstaff. Matt, you're from Flagstaff, right?
Correct.
You are. And we got you billed. In the promo for the show, we billed you as the most knowledgeable politico in Northern Arizona. You're the guy that knows everything.
Well, I like to think so, but I doubt that's true.
Right. We believe this. You were born in Kingman, right?
That's correct.
Well, that's why we think you know everything.
I'm a rare individual. I'm a Democrat from Kingman.
You're the Democrat from Kingman.
There was a couple of other guys out there, weren't there?
But this is a farm country now. This is a whole other show. But California's turning Kingman into farm country. It's, you know, there you go. That's kind of the Imperial Valley right there in Kingman, Arizona.
That's true. They're using up a lot of groundwater over there to turn a lot of that desert into farmland. And there's a lot of grave concern on both sides of the aisle as to what the long-term ramifications may be regarding the water supply for that particular area.
Yeah, well, you know, we all serve at LA's pleasure, but that's a topic for another day. We want to talk about Arizona state politics, and I know you got an initiative going that deals with education, which is really cool, because the joke about Doug Ducey hiring a public relations company to rebrand Arizona when all he has to do is fund education. You know, we know that. Gee, Doug, just stop cutting education, and you won't need to rebrand a really, really damaged brand.
Is this going to be kind of a Joe Camel type of thing he's doing?
Joe Camel. Yeah. Well, who knows? Well, he hired the Cold Stone Creamery firm, the same people that he hired when he worked for them. But so we want to talk about that initiative. We're kind of doing a summer here. We want to talk about LD6, the legislative district, the state district we live in, and we want to talk about Ann Kirkpatrick's race for challenging McCain. Let's start there. That's the big start at the top, I guess. We got Ann Kirkpatrick, who announced to take down the big gun of Arizona, John McCain. How's that race going? She got a chance?
I believe she does, and definitely the folks in D.C. do. And by far has one of, I think, or the best campaign staff in the state.
Ah.
They've done an outstanding job of not only keeping it in office, but growing Ann's base significantly through the district, and I think that's led to Ann's bipartisan appeal too. And I think the overall consensus was that since she has such an outstanding campaign team as well as congressional staff, that she's in by far the best position of any Democrat to ever take on John McCain. And John currently has a lot of issues and negatives he's having to deal with, too. And he's getting a strong attack from the right, from right. Kelly Ward out of Lake Havasu City. She's been garnering a lot of that Tea Party support, extreme right-wing support, which is disconcerting for many if she gets out of that primary. And but again, Ann has such broad appeal. And due to the vast area of her district, she actually is in both media markets here in the state, both Tucson and Phoenix.
Right.
So most people throughout the state, they know who she is.
You see, the weird district that she represents now. Which is our district, right. The rural
correct,
district that she represents
correct,
now in the House.
Roughly the size of Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Land-wise. But she's done an outstanding job.
So again, because she had the organization is one of the reasons that they felt that she... And that's true. Everybody in this room has experienced... And people not in this room have experienced her staff and her campaign people in the organizational process and with all of her races. And, they're pretty sure. Now, she did a lot of recruit, just to put a cap on that. There are young people in there from NAU, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's very key, we think, going into this next race, both for LD6 as well as Congressional District 1 and the statewide, that there really is an emphasis in this next cycle about driving out that student vote.
Yep.
And we've seen in races over the last two decades that have really been close, and especially those districts, legislative and congressional, that have the universities in them, it's usually the universities that have put candidates over the top.
That's
and
an exciting factor.
That very well may be the case here, both in CD1 as well as the statewide for Ann. You know, Ann got hit with everything and the kitchen sink last go around, and she still won by 9 points.
9 points, wow.
Giving up a safe, increasingly safe congressional seat for, seems like, a long shot in running in the Senate against John McCain, who is... Gosh, he's been, his sixth race,
yeah.
Mike, or something like that.
Well, we can't talk about the Ann Kirkpatrick-John McCain race without talking about the Tom O'Halloran race, because Tom is the designee for Ann's seat, correct?
Correct. And again, another outstanding choice. I believe ideologically Ann and Tom are very, very similar. Moderate centrist individuals that, again, have... Tom has very broad appeal across the spectrum. The business community likes him. He listens to their issues and takes them to heart. But he's also the go-to person when it comes to natural resources, especially water. When Tom was in the legislature, he was by far the go-to person when it came to water and natural resource issues, both on both sides, Democratic and Republican. He was the go-to person for those matters. And since those issues are so critical, especially in Congressional District 1, we really feel that Tom is by far one of the best, if not the best choice for that seat.
Tom was the guy for education and for environment, and he was a Republican, and we've had him on the show many times.
Ran as an independent.
Ran as an independent this last time, that's true. He sort of had a transition race. From his Republican wins to his became an independent and didn't make it, but
do we know much, Matt, about who's going to be running against him from the Republicans?
Well, we know Keeney is running. He's very well funded, of course, self funded too, but he's definitely one of the Tea Party darlings. I don't think he's going to have that broad appeal that Tom and that Ann does have currently. There is talk of Speaker Gowan of the legislature, Speaker of the House, the Arizona legislature. There's talk of him running, and he definitely has some negatives. He has not that strong of support within his own party, too, similar to Ann's last opponent, as well as the former Speaker of the House, Tobin. And we see Tobin and Gowan very much the same and having much the same result.
How can
as well.
The ADP, and then I have that in my, I have what the heck Matt, the ADP, the Arizona Democratic Party, you know, we are led by some of the wacko of the wackiest Republicans in the country, and we seem to have a concentration of them. They think there's something in the water, and we're checking that out. But how come the Democrats struggle so much in a state and these people that have ideological positions that are almost inhumane when it comes to education, when it comes to health care, when it comes to jobs? The three biggest, tell us about the Arizona Democratic Party platform, if that term isn't so old-fashioned. That goes back to the smoky days. But I think I did see an email flash through something about the ADP, the Arizona Democratic Party platform. Do people just not look at those things anymore? Is it all Tea Party-driven, and is it all media, whoever can make the biggest noise, even here in Arizona, that gets the office? What?
Well, it's funny you mention that. I was actually looking at the Republican platform from the 1950s.
Yeah.
About expanding Social Security and helping the poor and improving education and such. And it looks like the Democratic Party platform of today.
Wow.
And the fact that we've moved so far to the right as a society that now what used to be a Republican is now considered a liberal Democrat.
Well, I want to say, Matt, I'm going to argue with you and say we haven't moved to the right as a society. We moved to the right as a corporate media. I think we're fed right wing nonsense. But I think people, and I think Arizona is purple. At least from my view, the people I meet, it's not red, it's not blue, for sure, but it definitely isn't dark red.
Well, it might actually, yes, you're hitting the nail on the head. Back in 2011, there was a Pew study that came out, and it ranked how conservative the legislatures were in comparison to their populations, and how there was a distinct disconnect due to Alec and the Koch brothers and those, how they bought our legislators throughout the different states.
Yeah.
And Arizona ranked at the time as the third most conservative legislature. Yet, as a population, Arizona's population ranked the 27th most conservative population. Arizona's population is just left of center.
There you go.
Yet we have this radical legislature that's been bought and paid for by corporate interests.
Well, and that's my point. And the ADP can't get them out.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about that, too.
Please.
We've seen it, and again, it's been quiet, but we're going to see much more about this. There's been a significant change in leadership there, and I could not be more impressed with the new party chairwoman, Alexis Tamarit. She's an operative from many, many years, and a successful Democratic operative. She knows what works and what doesn't, that we're not going to keep repeating the same thing expecting a different result.
Alexis
She's come
Cameron.
In with a whole new game plan. And just last week, we hired Sheila Healey, who's our new executive director for the Arizona Democratic Party. And, again, phenomenal. She's coming from the Obama campaign. She knows how to swing moderate states to the Democratic side. She got a lot of credit for key swing state wins for President Obama, and we're hoping that she's going to bring her knowledge and talent and be able to adequately apply them here. But we have an uphill battle. I mean, it's tough because we always get outspent about 3-1 on the average.
So outspent, and how's registration in the state as far as Republican, Democrat, Independent?
Right now, I want to say it's about 32% independent, about 30% Republican, and about 27% Democratic.
Uh-huh.
So we have about 4 or 5 points, percentage points that we need to make up. But there's not been a concerted voter registration drive, a coordinated voter registration drive, in at least 5 years that I've seen from the party, and we're open to change that as well. I know the party is really committed to that. And the upcoming state committee meeting next month is here in Flagstaff. And we urge all your listeners to check out the Democratic Party website. And come on up. You don't have to be a state committee person to attend the meeting, too. But come up and hear what our platform is, hear what's going on, and hear from our new candidates going into this next cycle.
Let me say those names again. Alexis Tamron, Sheila Healy, as the ADP, as Arizona Democratic Party Chair, Sheila Healy as the Executive Director. Is that her title?
That's correct.
And now is Ann Kirkpatrick, is Tom O'Halloran going to be at this thing in Flagstaff?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And they'll all get a chance to speak, as well as hopefully we're looking at some legislative six candidates.
Oh, yeah.
There's absolutely no reason why we should be represented by the three people that we are. They have no business being in the legislature. They're an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. You had some great candidates for LD6, but boy, they just couldn't overcome the R factor. And by the R factor, we're talking about the Republican factor. The R next to the name, and people don't pay attention to candidates. They pay attention to party and ideology, apparently, at least the ones that were voting. That's why it would be nice to get that student vote. The image of the Arizona voter is this person on a walker, you know, going into the voting booth, and they're the only voters. And you're telling me that Ann Kirkpatrick and Tom O'Halloran are going to have the staff that are under 40 and somehow getting their peers to vote. That's cause for celebration. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start drinking right now. Gary, what's up?
I was just going to, Mike brought up the media, and it's one of my pet peeves in Arizona is the media is so incredibly biased. For example, the top rated station in Phoenix, TV station news, did when Trump was in town, did 8 minutes on Trump at the lead of their newscast. Trump had about 4,000 people. When Bernie Sanders was in town, they did about 20 seconds, maybe 10 minutes into the newscast. When Carson was in town, they did 4 minutes plus at the top of the newscast. They continue every day to have a Trump story or a Carson story or a McCain story. It is so incredibly biased in this state. How do we ever overcome that?
That's for you, Matt.
That is a challenge too, and unfortunately, our candidates are rather sane, and they're not controversial, and they don't say things that they're outrageous to draw media attention. We're more about policy and getting the job done, where they're more about rhetoric and and outrageousness too. And right now, everybody's trying to outdo Trump.
Right.
It is radical and ridiculous.
And the public in Arizona is eating it up.
Well, I want to say I was at Bernie Sanders' thing. I went to that. Me and the other 11,000 Arizonans that were there, and it wasn't for lack of media worker bees there. There was at least on the media platform, there was at least 40 people. I always thought it was going to cave in. So the decision is made. I mean, to answer Gary, based on observation, is the decision made not to run all their material, not to use all their material, was, and I did like you that night. I switched through the stations trying to see my beautiful face on TV. And guess what? I mean, like you said, with 30 seconds, it was a little hard. It was a little hard to catch anything. The Sanders coverage was
The New Yorker has an article, satirical article, which is maybe Gary knows what it's called, but it's Bernie Sanders pandering to the people who want the truth. he's pandering truth to people.
But it's
a funny piece. It's available online, folks.
But free college education funded by Wall Street, that's controversial. I mean, it's not to me. To me, it's the most sane thing that anybody has ever said. But that's one of Sanders' positions. Saving Social Security, increasing Social Security, increasing Medicare. those things are controversial. They at least they should be for discussion purposes. And yet they're not the kind of controversy that is by, you know, calling Mexicans terrorists and the things that Donald Trump does. I guess that's hate is more controversial than, I don't know, than anything that makes sense.
Let me ask Matt, how do the national elections and what happens with them interact with our statewide and district-wide and legislative district-wide elections? In other words, is there a connection that you can see between the national races that are going to happen next year and also the local ones?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever there is an open presidential election, turnout usually goes up almost 30%, if not higher. And usually that turnout is younger voters. And granted, you know, they're – just go back to one of the previous points. There is a lot of rhetoric and nuttiness going on right now, but we're still a year and a half out, and I think a lot of these nuts are going to flame out, and we're going to get back into what's important, you know, the bread and butter issues of most voters. And,
from your mouth to God's ear, please.
I'm sorry?
From your mouth to God's ear, I'm hoping that does happen, that these people, yes. They do flame out. Go ahead.
Yes, and turnout will be exceptionally high next year, too, and that always goes down ticket. When a lot of people come out for a presidential race or presidential candidate, they're going to vote down ticket, and that impacts every race, all the way down to city councils and school boards and judges and things like that. And that's really key, and that's what we're hoping will happen next year. And there's also going to be some other significant voter turnout drivers, and those are going to be the initiatives that are going to be on the ballot.
The marijuana initiative. Oh, yes, and you're going to tell us about your education initiative and why it focuses on universities and not K-12.
Exactly. And next year, though, there's going to be, of course, the tuition issue initiative. There's going to be probably a minimum wage initiative. There's going to be an non-discrimination act against, or that helps prevent discrimination against the LGBTQ community. So there's going to be a lot of those that will turn out voters that aren't going to be coming out for a particular candidate, but they're going to be coming out for their issue. And the one thing I'm working on right now, specifically, is the what we call the tuition initiative. And in Arizona, because of ALEC and other matters, or other special interests.
Matt, explain what ALEC is for folks, just to refresh their
mind. ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council. And what that is an association of corporate lobbyists that write legislation for in their own interest, of course, for legislatures and Congress. And I'll give you an example of one that just passed here, is that ALEC was able to give Bob Thorpe and Brenda Barton and Sylvia Allen a bill that provided a 30% corporate income tax cut to Arizona corporations. And they dropped this bill all around the country in legislatures. And they spent a huge amount of money to do a lot of whining and dining. They send all of our legislators on these junkets, and they call them trainees or
education
conferences. Yes, education forums, things like that. And so they basically bought and paid for our legislature. And it's absolutely shameful. Subsequently, while they provide these 30% corporate income tax cuts, of which, of course, there was no personal income tax, the general taxpayers don't get those types of benefits, but the corporations do, they cut education time and time again. They cut higher education $400 million in the last 5 years. Subsequently, in-state undergraduates have had their tuition rates go up 80%. in the last 5 years. And I put this point to some of our legislators, and I said, look, tell me one other constituency that has seen their taxes or their government user fees go up by 80%. And the Republicans can absolutely not answer that question because no one else has. And yet they want our students to be educated to develop our workforce and expand our economy, yet they shoulder them with these high costs and this continued growing college debt.
And the initiative is states what? Are we calling this a higher ed education initiative? Would that be a good title for it?
Yes, that's what it is. So what our initiative does is it caps tuition rates for in-state undergraduates, not out-of-state, not foreign students, et cetera.
Right.
But just our in-state students, it caps their tuition rates where it is right now, freezes it. It can be adjusted for the rate of inflation. We did do that. And then we met extensively with the Board of Regents staff to make sure that we weren't putting our universities in a vice, because the legislature, of course, they don't care if tuition is capped. They're going to keep cutting higher education.
All right.
So the initiative also mandates that the legislature can no longer cut below what the current funding level is. So it freezes the current funding level as well. And that gives the universities and the Board of Regents a little bit of breathing room where they're not going to have to fight to prevent further cuts, where they can go out and develop other revenue streams through foundations, federal funds, et cetera, to offset what they may lose in rather than increasing tuition rates.
Capping the tuition rate, I get. I don't get capping the funding level. If you want the state
not capping the funding level. We're preventing any further cuts below.
Ah, very good.
It can't go below what it is currently.
To try to force the state to increase its role to not abandon its role in higher education as it has done with, 1% and 2% of college funding in Arizona coming from the state, which is insane, trying to have students carry the entire burden of the cost of higher education. Nobody does that. No country does that.
Let me ask you, Matt, what do you have to do to get this initiative on the ballot? What's involved, and where are you in the process of the initiative? And do you have a final name for it?
We do. We do. What we've done right now is we have filed the language. And, Steve, I'll send all that information over you guys who want to talk about this at a later date. And we need 156,000 certified signatures. We've already have about 7,000 signatures. We started just a couple weeks ago on that. We're very bullish that we'll get on the ballot.
If you have the petition circulated, you'll get it. This is you got 6 months. Is that the deal?
No. We have until next July.
Yeah.
So we have just a little under a year right now to get on the ballot. So we're pretty confident that will happen too. But right now it is called the Tuition Cap Higher Education Funding Initiative, and that's the title of it currently. So we are moving forward with that, and we know that this will be a significant driver of younger voters. Especially again the students that are now having to pay more and more every year, which is a big impact for especially working families. Excuse me, that want to send their kids to a state school. My father had five children. Three of us went to college, and my father and mother were able to help us out when we needed it. Financially, and that's not the case now.
Right.
Where a working family who wants their children to live the American dream and get that education can't with this current legislature and this governor in office, and we need to make some changes. So, again, as usual in Arizona, the people need to take matters into their own hands because the legislature and the governor's office are not meeting their obligated requirements. In the Arizona Constitution, it stipulates in Article 11 that higher education is to be as close to free as possible. And yet you get these right-wing legislators that always tout that they're following the Constitution to the letter. That's not true. They disregard the parts they don't like, they ignore it, and they work around it. And that's exactly what we're seeing in this case, a total disregard for Arizona's Constitution.
What about this minimum wage initiative?
Yes, I am aware that some of the labor organizations are looking at that. I'm not sure how far along they are. They have not filed as of yet.
I see.
But, again, you know, I went to Arizona State, and I had it. I took an economics class, and we had Adam Smith, you know, who's the father of American capitalism, and he was very open, in his philosophy that the more money that's out in circulation, the better the economy. So if you're able to raise minimum wage, that's more money in circulation. That's better for our economy, and it expands our economy significantly rather than having it held up in hedge funds and corporate bank accounts that are starving their own workers, and that then we have to subsidize as taxpayers because they qualify since they're under the poverty level. For federal and state assistance, and that's shameful. The current situation we're in, and we think a minimum wage initiative would really help address that issue and be very beneficial.
Well, that's
to
one of the
overall.
ADP thing. Anybody that works for a living, the Democratic Party thing. Anybody that works for a living should be able to pay their bills. If you're working, if you're willing to work, you go out every day. You should be able at least to pay your bills. I know I've talked to Republicans. They see minimum wage jobs as temporary jobs or transition jobs, like if you were in school. But that's not the case. I have people, friends in their 50s who are husband and wife who are working minimum wage jobs with children and not making it. They are always on the edge of disaster. And when you talk about stresses, the other thing you mentioned are three LD6 legislators
who are among the nuttiest and most extreme people in the legislature. If there was a contest, we have three guys in the top three. The question we often ask is which is crazier and which is further right? And it always ends up with we don't know which is
so
which. But
who do we have running an LD6 from the Democratic side?
Well,
it's early. I know it's a year and a half before the election, but there's so much talk about this. And we got Matt Capaldi on the show today, by the way, so we're going to pump him for all the information we can. Matt Capaldi is the Democratic Party wonk. I don't know if that's a pejorative term or not, but certainly a Democratic Party knowledgeable guy here in northern Arizona, and we're going to get the info out of him. So who is going to save us from our three Republican legislatures in our district, our state district, LD6?
Well, we are in talks now with some very experienced and currently elected and former elected officials.
Drop their names and we'll force them. No. This is what we do here on Democratic Perspective. Tell us their names and we'll make them run. We got to run now. You said you've been on the radio.
I really don't want to get stabbed.
Sure, I understand.
No, but we've met with current minority leader Dr. Eric Meyer and some of the other legislative party leadership down there, and they've been making regular visits up here, meeting with people too that have expressly some interest as well. And it's pretty obvious with the track record of our three legislators that they're extremely vulnerable.
Good.
Especially going in, like I said, into this next year where there's going to be a high turnout where it's not just going to be their base getting out and voting.
Now, turnout benefits Democrats, right?
I'm sorry?
High turnout benefits the Democrats.
Yes, yes. Higher turnout always benefits the Democrats. Low turnout, that's why the Republicans always are pushing voter suppression bills, because low turnout always benefits them.
It benefits reasonable people, whether they're Democrats or not. I think calling our three legislators Republicans is an insult to Republicans everywhere.
Okay, here we go.
These people are so out there. They're not even conservatives or right wing. They are just crazy.
Well, yeah, which is
an insult to crazy people.
I have a name. We call them crazy. Excuse me, not crazy. We call them angry libertarians. I believe is a party in Arizona that is untapped, kind of below the surface. We have all these angry people, these anti-government, mostly everything people, and they're always angry at someone. And
they're a little scary when you hear them talk. And how about something more objective, Matt? We just call them. Loons.
That's right. How about ex-legislatures?
That would be the best title of all.
That's what we'd like to call them. But all right. Well, so let me get this straight. The leadership of the Arizona Democratic Party, including the legislative leadership, has been traveling to northern Arizona and talking to prospective candidates.
Yes. Yes. Right. They've actually talked to. No, again, I don't want to drop her name, but they've talked to former Sedona City Councilwoman. I know that, too. And then, of course, current City Councilwoman, Angela Lefevre, who ran 2 years ago, too. It'd be wonderful to see her back in there. But I think she's very happy serving on the City Council right now.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think you can get her. moving on. So that's great. She was a good campaigner, and she ran she was a strong campaigner for sure. And she's got the experience, as you know, going through a campaign, regardless of what it is, whether it's city council or the state legislature. It's a grueling thing.
It's not easy to run for office.
No.
Especially in these huge geographic districts.
We're going to get these two other guys to run for office. My face is on some wanted posters in other states, and so I'm on the down low here. But Steve Williams and Gary LeMaster are going to be famous. Matter of fact, send Eric over to these guys' house and.
Infamous, I think, is a better term.
Yeah, that's right.
What can we do? I mean, Ducey has all these plans, which, if you're sort of a normal person, you're probably not paying attention to any of them because, like, politics, because it's either boring or it's anxiety-producing. People don't like the anxiety of getting involved in politics. The other thing is, if you do just charitable work, you're a good guy. If you do politics and try to have political reform, you basically get your hands dirty. There's something ambiguous about doing politics, and that we're trying to elect people who will have the power, basically, to do right. And that involves a very different thing. What can we do, Matt, or to deal with someone like Ducey running the state, and what can we do to get people to be more involved when it is a fairly painful process sometimes to even listen to all these different accusations and problems?
Well, you're definitely hitting the nail on the head when it comes to recruiting viable candidates. We have approached many good people, and I'll give you an example. I am going to drop his name, Nat White, who used to be the director at Lowell Observatory and a former Flagstaff city councilman. One of the finest people I know, just an outstanding person all the way around, level-headed, kind, passionate about the well-being of the community. Excuse me. And we've been working on him for a while, and he was adamant. He's like, why would I want to go down there and deal with those people? And I said, Matt, until we get people like you in there, It's not going to change.
Yeah.
We need people like you that will step up and be willing to go down and change the paradigm and the dynamic down there and the culture that is so dysfunctional and not reflective of the population of Arizona. And that's the challenge we have right now, because it is, there's such a disdain towards elected office. And it shouldn't be that way, because those people overall, Republicans and Democrats, probably with the exception of our current legislators, they're good people overall. They're there for the right reasons because they care. But they get beat up, and then they get into the whole culture of this negative rhetoric and ideological stances rather than rational stances and such. And it's really too bad. And we definitely have our work cut out for us as far as being able to find those good, decent, rational people that want to serve our community without such nastiness always going on.
I think one of the real problems is money, and from a whole lot of ways, it takes so much effort to raise money to run for office, and you are become kind of at the mercy of the contributors, the large contributors to run. And then when you get into office, you're still at their mercy, because everybody expects you to run again. So rather than vote your conscience, you have to, you know, I think almost every single elected official has to temper their vote in order to, pander is too strong a word, but in order to have a chance at reelection. And I wish people would just quit worrying about reelection and do the right thing. Vote their conscience. But it is so intimidating. You spend so much time, so much money to get elected that, you know, it's hard to then turn around and give it up.
So if we have Democrats listening to the show and they want to get involved in this higher ed tuition cap petition drive, how can they do that?
Well, please go to our website, which is tuitioncaps.com, and please sign up, and we'll get you all the necessary information you need, or you can give me a call at area code 928-814-2789. And, again, I'll be more than happy to run some petitions by or talk to you more about our initiative and proposal.
Why don't you give us the address again, Matt?
Yes, it's www.tuitioncaps.com. And, you can sign up through our website there, as well as donate as well. It's definitely a costly endeavor to, as money in politics is, to get on the ballot.
I predict this will be
circulators right now.
This will be a very popular initiative. I just hope it doesn't get derailed on language and all the other things that Republicans will do to attack.
Matt, we've got about 1 minute left. I'm not going to ask you to say anything in 1 minute, but hope you'll come on the show and talk again as the race begins. As you said earlier, It's a long, long way from happening. It's almost a year and a half.
We want to invite you down to, we want to get you together with Democrats of the Red Rocks, too. Who's
one of our sponsors?
Who's one of our sponsors? I was trying to work that in, exactly. We got Democrats of the Verde Valley, Democrats of the Red Rocks, and we've had Matt Capaldi here on the Democratic Perspective this morning. And we got some great shows coming up. We are getting into the fall. Please stay tuned and listen to our podcast on VVID.org. VVID.org has our podcast. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.